Hello, this is Maria. Welcome to the Didcot, Abingdon and Wantage talking newspaper, Dawn, recorded on Wednesday the 26th of August 2026. As usual, you'll hear a number of news items from local sources and we hope you enjoy them. I'm the editor. Our readers this week are Irene, Sandra, Paul and Sandra. Our technicians are Brian and Ufuk and Ruth is in the office. We start with a story about a new banking hub coming to Didcot.
Hello, this is Irene. First of its kind banking hub opening soon in Didcot. The lease has been signed and an opening timeline announced for a new banking hub, the first of its kind, which is set to open soon in Didcot. The UK Cash Access and ATM Network Link announced in February that a new banking hub, when customers could access services for multiple high street banks, would open in Didcot following the announcement that Lloyds Bank will close. The hub, the first of its kind in Oxfordshire, is part of a national effort to protect access to cash and basic banking services rather than forcing reliance on digital services. A lease has now been signed on the premises, which will house the hub at 156 Broadway in Didcot, replacing the Lloyds. Link has also announced a provisional timeline for the opening of the new services, with a fit-out and installation starting on September the 21st, expected to be completed by late November. A statement from the network, shared by Didcot Councillor Tony Worgan, "This is a significant milestone, and we would like to thank everyone for their patience and continued support while we work through the legal process to secure the property. Our focus now turns to preparing the premises so that it is ready to welcome customers. If there are any significant changes to the programme, we will keep the community informed. We appreciate the support we have received from local stakeholders and the wider community throughout this process and look forward to sharing further updates as we progress towards opening day."
Hello, this is Sandra Kay. New security in bid to stop travellers. Concrete blocks were erected at the park to prevent further encampments. New security measures have been installed at a park in Abingdon following the departure of a group of travellers who forced their way in. A group of travellers with caravans, cars and animals, including horses, geese and dogs, plus work vehicles, arrived in Albert Park in Abingdon late on Saturday, August the 15th, and left about 5 days later. Following their departure, large concrete blocks have now been erected at the entrance to the park, making it impossible, or at least very difficult, for unauthorised vehicles to gain access. It is understood that some travellers moved on to land in Drayton, near Abingdon, after they left Albert Park.
Hello, this is Paul. Fire in field near housing estate is treated as arson. A dangerous fire which swept through a field near a housing estate in Grove is believed to have been deliberately arson. Thames Valley Police have launched an investigation into the fire which blazed on the field behind the Wellington Gate estate in Grove late in the evening of Sunday, August the 16th. The fire affected a patch of grass and hedgerow, measuring about 50 metres square, and three fire engines were sent to contain and eventually extinguish the fire. Police were called to the incident at 10:42 p.m, but fire crews were called at about 9:35 p.m. on Sunday and used hose reels and beaters to put out before departing at 11:04 p.m. The police's neighbourhood team for Wantage said the fire is suspected to be deliberate arson and are appealing for information on a number of people seen nearby on the night. The Force reported that a group of young people were seen acting in an antisocial manner on Byron Avenue, adjacent to the blaze off Armstrong Avenue, before the fire was reported. Then at about 10 p.m, a man riding a silver moped, a man riding a dark-coloured moped and a child were seen travelling from Byron Avenue to Armstrong Avenue, towards the area where the fire was later discovered. A spokesman for the force said, given the dry conditions and proximity to nearby homes, this incident had the potential to be far more serious. We are keen to identify the individuals on the mopeds and speak to anyone who may have witnessed the incident or has information that could assist our investigation. Local residents may recognise those involved, and we would also like to hear from any youths who were in the area and may have seen events leading up to the fire. Wildfires can spread rapidly, endangering lives, destroying habitats, and pose a significant risk to nearby homes and businesses. We urge everyone to take these warnings seriously and help protect our community. Anyone with information is asked to contact police by calling 101 or making a report online, quoting reference number 432 604 26136. Simon, who lives in Wellington Gate earlier, said two fire engines were quickly on the scene, but with the fire being on a field, fire crews had to carry their equipment 100 or 200 metres to where the fire was. I saw a police car entering the estate around 10:30 p.m. too. I'd never seen so many people on the streets of the estate, checking it out for peace of mind to ensure it had been put out safely. But the fire brigade did a great job as always. He hooked onto a water point drain on the estate to put it out. I believe this isn't the first time there have been people trying to start fires there.
Hello, this is Sandra F. Fuel giant unveils major plans for industrial site. A former fuel research station site could be redeveloped as an industrial estate, bringing new jobs to the county. The former ESSA Research Centre at Milton Hill, near Steventon and Abingdon, has been unused for its original purpose since 2005 and largely cleared since 2007. The 11.07 hectare site west of the A34 and accessed from the A4130 Abingdon Road was previously used for ESSO's main European fuels and lubricants research operations. Its buildings were demolished in 2007, leaving hard-standing internal roads and landscaping. Property investment firm XLB Property and ESSO have now submitted details to Vale Whitehorse District Council to redevelop the site. Documents sent to the authorities suggest ESSO wants to build an employment, business and industrial estate of about 35,200 square metres. The new site would be used for research and development, light industry, general industry, storage and distribution, plus ancillary offices. For the first phase of the project, the eastern part of the site would feature 13,800 square metres in four buildings, divided into six units with heights of 12 to 14 metres. Then, in the second phase of the project, the western side would see about 21,400 square metres across several buildings, with heights of 6 to 15.5 metres. The site has repeatedly been earmarked for commercial development. Consent was granted in 2006 for about 26,102 square metres of offices, industrial and warehouse space. A Tesco home delivery centre was approved in 2013, while in 2022, Vale of Whitehorse refused a larger commercial scheme, initially proposed as five buildings and later amended to four. Refusal reasons included overdevelopment, visual harm, noise and disturbance, transport mitigation and insufficient contributions after a community campaign to rid these plans. The new proposal is therefore smaller and lower than the 2022 refused plan, around 35,200 square metres, with buildings up to 15.5 metres, documents say. The XLB Property and Esso Petroleum Company have submitted an environmental impact assessment screening request to Vale of Whitehorse District Council, which is not a full planning application. The applicants estimate the completed scheme could generate around 234 two-way vehicle trips in the morning peak and 185 in the evening peak. It says modelling will determine whether roadworks or other mitigation are required. It has also been argued that a full environmental impact assessment would not be necessary, as an ordinary planning application would include various assessments to address concerns.
Poll after loss of respected councillor. A by-election could take place following the death of a town councillor. Margaret Crick, who served on Abingdon Town Council and was a former mayor of the town, died on July the 10th. An election looks likely if her former seat is contested by potential candidates, otherwise the vacancy will be filled by co-option. A public notice from Abingdon Town Council signed by the town clerk, Sherry Carruthers, said, "Public notice is hereby given that due to the death of Councillor Margaret Crick, a vacancy exists in the office of Town Councillor for Abingdon-on-Thames Town Council's Dunmore Ward. The vacancy will be filled by election if, within 14 days of the date of this notice, any 10 local government electors for the said town or parish ward submit a written request to the returning officer of the Vale of Whitehorse Abbey House. If no such request is made, the vacancy will be filled by co-option by the Town Council." A statement on the Abingdon Town Council website shortly after Miss Crick's death said Margaret had been in poor health in recent months, but nevertheless her passing has come as a great shock to all her friends and colleagues at the Town Council in the wider community of Abingdon. Margaret was first elected in the Town Council in May 2011, and has represented the Dunmore Ward continuously since then. During her time on the Town Council, she served on many committees, including the Environment, Amenities, Infrastructure, the Planning Committee and the Museum Subcommittee. Margaret also served as Mayor of Abingdon from 2018 to 19. She was also elected to the Vale of Whitehorse District Council in a by-election in September 2014 and served as a district councillor until she stood down in May 2023. It is a measure of the respect she was held in by her fellow councillors that she was elected as chair of the Vale for four successive years from 2019 to 2023. Margaret was a hard-working and dedicated councillor, building up a great deal of knowledge about Abingdon and particularly her Dunmore ward. She was very keen to see the cinema remain in Abingdon and was particularly pleased that the council had recently ensured that this would happen. Margaret was also a passionate defender of the Greenbelt. She was generous with her time with residents, councillors and staff. She brought great warmth and personality to meetings. She had an incisive and inquiring mind, not afraid to ask difficult questions, but always tempering this with her caring and generous spirit and her great sense of humour. Margaret will be greatly missed by everyone who knew her.
Support for Community Hub plans for Old Church. Plans by local people to convert a church into a community base have been welcomed. Councillor Jenny Hannaby has said that Mission Hall, or Old Mission, in East Challow near Wantage, could become a place where residents could meet up if a new change of use application goes through. Built in 1904 as a Baptist church, debates have raged about the hall, which hosted services and non-denominational community events since it closed in 2021. Residents campaigned to keep the religious building for the community and to prevent it being bought up by developers and demolished. However, since then, works have been done to renovate the historic site, which Miss Hannaby seemed to support. The county and district councillor said, "The village has lost amenities over the years, including two public houses. It is good to see the owners of this tired building have sympathetically renovated as a community asset. The Liberal Democrat added, I understand a planning application has been requested to turn building into a coffee-cum-gift shop, if successfully supported, would be a place where residents could meet up and enjoy without having to travel far. The changes of use application has been submitted to the Vale of Whitehorse District Council, which would see its purpose amended from a Class F community asset to a Class E commercial and business use. In the statement, Duncan Walpole Architects, which represents the owner, said the construction work is coming to a close and thought is going into the future use and amenity of the building. They acknowledged that since the closure there had been a great deal of interest in the hall, with locals hoping that it will remain an asset that the community can use. The architects continued, the hall is excellently located within the heart of East Challow, but it has been lost as a significant community asset. Currently, there are no shops or cafes in the immediate area, and such a use would be warmly welcomed by the community. The new owner, a local farmer, has made great effort and investment to improve and preserve the building, and it is his daughter who now plans to run a community coffee shop, whilst also offering creative workshops and allowing the local community to hire the space for groups, discussions, etc. It will also offer employment opportunities for one or two local people and will provide a warm and welcoming environment to all visitors. East Challow Parish Council confirmed that they will be discussing the application in a meeting on September the 9th. It added, any decisions will be published in the minutes available on East Challow Parish Council's website. The consultation for the application will end on September the 10th.
Allotments help a new community to take root. A retired couple has praised Wallingford Allotments for bringing people together. Nick and Sue Jones, who live at Barclays Highcroft Development, were among the first to be given a plot at the site, which was delivered as part of the landscape-led scheme and later transferred to Wallingford Town Council. Nick and Sue Jones said, "The allotments have created a really friendly community. People look out for one another and are always willing to share advice or lend a hand, whether that means discussing what to grow, identifying something found on a plot, or keeping somebody's crops watered while they're away. Some people have years of gardening experience, and others are learning as they go, so there's always knowledge being passed around. We all tend our own plots, but nobody feels as though they are doing it alone. They now tend to two adjoining 50-square-metre plots, just a 5-minute walk from their home. At the request of Wallingford Town Council, the couple set up a WhatsApp group to connect plot holders, which has since become a hub for advice, support and neighbourly help. The group shares tips on crops, pests and wildlife, but also offers practical support. Members water each other's plants during holidays and help identify plants or solve problems. That spirit recently extended to a family of partridges that made its home on one of the allotments, with members sharing updates as their eggs hatched and the 12 chicks eventually fledged. Nick and Sue Jones said the partridges captured everyone's attention. People kept an eye on them and shared updates with the group, so the whole community was able to follow their progress. There's always something happening at the allotments. We hear lots of different birdsong and get the most amazing deep pink and orange sunsets, but being able to share those experiences with other people is what makes it particularly special. Their granddaughter regularly helps on the plot, watering plants and tasting strawberries. The couple say the biggest benefit has been becoming part of the community.
Motorcyclists crash while fleeing police. Two motorcyclists were arrested after crashing while fleeing police, after riding dangerously in pedestrian areas, including Didcot's Orchard Shopping Centre. When officers attempted to stop the pair, they refused to pull over and fled the scene. It was the latest incident this year involving youths causing trouble in and around the Orchard Centre. In April, Thames Valley Police issued banning letters to a number of young people involved in antisocial behaviour within stores, with the disruption to shoppers highlighted by Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber. And at the end of May, officers were once again forced to focus on trouble at the centre. Among the issues raised were reports of drugs and nuisance behaviour, with the police also looking into motorbike riders causing noise, disruption and safety risks to others. Regarding the latest motorbikes incident earlier this month, Thames Valley Police said, "The riders continued their dangerous antics around the town before officers coordinated resources from across the force. While another team was dealing with a separate vehicle linked to suspected drug use, a police dog unit in the area spotted the motorcycles. The riders once again attempted to get away. Unfortunately for them, their escape plan had a major flaw. One rider lost control and collided with his friend, taking both bikes out in the process. One motorcyclist suffered a broken collarbone as a result of the collision, and both were arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving and failing to stop for police. The rider who collided with his companion was also arrested on suspicion of causing serious injury by dangerous driving. Also this month, the Didcot and Wallingford Neighbourhood Policing Team joined forces with the Roads Policing Tasking Team for a road safety operation at H Cafe. The operation focused on engaging with motorcyclists, promoting safe riding and addressing antisocial behaviour on the roads. Police said that while most motorbike riders were responsible, a few were found to be in serious violation of the law. Officers dealt with multiple riders for offences including dangerous driving, riding without insurance, and riding while disqualified. Thames Valley Police said one rider was found to have no valid licence due to being disqualified from driving, yet had decided to get back on a bike anyway. Roads policing regularly carry out these operations, but on this occasion, NHPT officers were able to support by providing local knowledge, helping identify individuals and areas of concern, and assisting with enforcement activity. A great example of different policing teams working together to keep our roads safe. The force emphasised the importance of collaboration in tackling road safety issues and responding to community concerns.
Works shut road for the sixth time in only 2 years. A road in Wallingford has been closed by Thames Water for the sixth time in the last 2 years for works described by one business owner as horrendous. The water company closed Hithercroft Road in Wallingford to all traffic on August 14th to repair a damaged sewer. An estimated 28 tankers have been required on site to manually transport the sewage and wastewater while the pipe is isolated and repaired by engineers in a huge operation set to continue until August the 28th. Business owner Pam Barry, who runs the coffee stop kiosk in Hithercroft Road, said, "I can't believe it." She said it's the third year in a row they've closed this road and they just don't care. "I spoke to one of the workers yesterday who said it was a complete mess. He said it is disorganised. Nobody knows what they're doing and they all tell you different things. Last year was really, really difficult for me. I almost gave it all in. I thought I was just going to have to close. It was unbelievably stressful. I know the work needs to be done, but why wasn't it finished during one of the previous times? I've counted it up. They were working on this road on and off across 9 months last year. It's just so ridiculous. As an outdoor venue reliant on passing trade, Miss Barry's business has been suffering not only from the road closure blocking the only route from the town to the coffee shop without driving around the bypass and the constant disruption from the works. She added, "The tankers are running their engines constantly, and it just adds to the stress, anxiety and the pollution and the environmental damage, the decibels of the noise, how it's affecting my business and my footfall. Even their customer service is shocking. And they, the workers, don't even buy coffee. Hithercroft and St John's Road have faced repeated closures for works over the past few years, including in December 2024, when raw sewage leaked across the carriageway. It was closed indefinitely in January 2025 to fix the leak, and subsequent road closures at the same site followed in February 2025 for a burst water main, in June to replace an aged infrastructure, and in July to fix damage caused by a house builder earlier in the year. A spokesman for Thames Water said engineers are working in St John's Road, Wallingford, to repair part of the sewer, which, if left unrepaired, could increase the risk of pollution during the winter. Tankers are being used to safely remove the transport wastewater, while engineers isolate and repair the pipework. The work is scheduled to be completed by August the 28th. We are sorry for the disruption these works may cause and would like to thank residents and businesses, owners, for their patience while we carry out this essential repair."
Abingdon School to begin its move to co-education. A historic change is taking place at Abingdon School this September as girls join the senior school for the first time. From September 2026, girls will be welcomed into the first year, year 7, and sixth form, year 12. The move has been planned as a gradual year-by-year transition. The school will become fully co-educational by 2030. The prep school has already begun its own move to co-education. Abingdon is not alone in making this change. Single-sex education has been in decline over the past decades, falling from 25% of independent schools in 2013 to 18% in 2024. Most of this decline has been due to single-sex schools becoming co-educational. There are now more single-sex girls' schools than boys' schools. St Helens and St Catherine in Abingdon remains a single-sex girls' school.
Wildlife rescue blown away by support. A wildlife rescue centre, which is currently caring for 153 sick or injured hedgehogs, said they were blown away by the support they received after an appeal. Oxfordshire Wildlife Rescue in Blueberry, near Didcot, rescues, rehabilitates and releases thousands of injured animals every year. It has recently been dealing with an influx of hedgehog patients. The charity said hedgehogs were one of the largest patient groups the team were looking after, and the 153 total was an incredible number. To deal with the demand, the charity appealed for help from supporters to replenish the supplies they're getting through in caring for the hogs. The charity said, "Seeing them eating, gaining weight and becoming stronger every day is an amazing result. But caring for 153 hungry hedgehogs also means we are getting through an enormous amount of food, bedding and other essential supplies. And we're beginning to run out. We urgently need a little help from our wonderful supporters. Every tin of food, bag of supplies and donated item makes a genuine difference when we are caring for this many animals at once. As always, thank you for standing behind our little charity and helping us continue to be there for wildlife when they need us most." In response, supporters sent more than £2,600 worth of goods from the charity's Amazon wish list, including food, cleaning equipment and other emergency supplies, leaving the charity volunteers blown away.
70 years of friendship between Abingdon and Argentan. Abingdon welcomed over 40 visitors from Argentan in Normandy on Saturday, the 22nd of August, as the two towns celebrated 70 years of friendship and twinning. The anniversary celebrations began in the Royce Room at the Guildhall, where the visitors were formally welcomed by the town crier. Councillor Andrew Skinner, Mayor of Abingdon-on-Thames, and Councillor Emmanuel Flauvat, Mayor of Argentan, then addressed the gathering. The Mayor of Abingdon spoke in French, while the Mayor of Argentan spoke in English. The two mayors then signed a document to celebrate 70 years of twinning history. The formal proceedings were followed by a talk on the history of Abingdon given by Ellen Borman from the Abingdon County Hall Museum. The visitors then enjoyed refreshments at the Guildhall. Many of the Abingdon people and Argentan visitors were wearing T-shirts carrying the town crests and the words 70 years of friendship in French and English. After lunch, the visitors explored more of Abingdon through guided walks. Smaller groups visited St Helen's Church and its bell tower. The day's programme ended with dinner at Tiffin's Indian Restaurant in Bath Street. The weekend was a chance to see the friendly rivalry between Abingdon's two Morris dancing sides. On Saturday, Mr Hemming's traditional Morris dancers welcomed the visitors from Argentan. On Sunday, it was the turn of the Abingdon traditional Morris dancers to welcome the civic party. Sunday ended with a buffet at the Trinity Church Conduit Centre, bringing together the visitors from Argentan and the hosts. It was a chance for everyone to get together and celebrate 70 years of friendship between the two towns.
That is the last article of our first 12 news items. On the notice board this week, we have no Dawn subscriber birthdays to celebrate, but sadly there are four deaths announced in our area. Betty Harraway, aged 94, Lionel Reed, aged 80, Walter, known as Wally Spiller, aged 91. Mr. Spiller was a former owner of Chilton Stores and Post Office. And finally, Eileen Venn, aged 94. Mrs. Venn was a Dawn subscriber, and we send our condolences to her family and friends. All will be missed by their family and friends. We've just got time to look at some events which happened this week in history. In 1912, William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, died aged 83. In 1913, Adolphe Pigou bailed out from an aeroplane over France, landing safely and becoming the first person to parachute from a plane. In 1914, German troops occupied Brussels after invading neutral Belgium in the early stages of the First World War. In 1968, the Soviet Union led Warsaw Pact troops into Czechoslovakia. In 1977, the Voyager 2 spacecraft was launched on its journey to Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus and Neptune. In 1989, the Thames pleasure cruiser, the Marchioness, was hit by a dredger and 51 young people attending a party on the boat were killed. We now go back to the news and start with an item about science funding and its effect on local research establishments.
Concern at impact of 162 million science research cuts. Thousands of science jobs and the closure of world-leading research programmes could be at risk, according to an MP. Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover, whose constituency includes Milton Park, Culham and Harwell, served science parks, has called for a review on the decision to allocate funding away from the Science and Technology Facilities Council, STFC. With increasing running costs, it means a sector which includes innovation in areas including defence and satellite technology is facing a funding shortfall of 162 million. The government said funding was remaining flat in the current spending review, but is committed to working to ensure the UK sustains its world-leading facilities. An STFC spokesman said, "Faced with growing costs that will exceed available budgets over the next 4 years, we have to act now to avoid more serious disruption. What's at risk? Nationally, it's led to the potential closure of the Dodrell Bank Observatory, home to the UK's largest telescope. But what could the impact be in Oxfordshire?" Executive Director of the Royal Astronomical Society, Ian Russell, said Oxfordshire's research hubs are now facing huge risks, with some facilities facing 20, 40 and 60% cuts or even facing closures. According to Russell, the ultra-powerful microscope, the ISIS Neutron, a muon source based at Harwell campus, is reducing its running time, and there's a risk the team may lose the muon source altogether. The device can be used for things like developing new pharmaceuticals and improving battery technology. An STFC spokesman has rejected the idea, saying the microscope is still continuing to operate as normal, undertaking phenomenal research and supporting a community of very highly skilled staff who are expert engineers, scientists and researchers. Ollie Glover is also concerned about potential jobs cuts in Oxfordshire's science hubs. Multidisciplinary scientific research is crucial to driving economic growth. These funding cuts threaten thousands of jobs across Oxfordshire and the UK, impacting many of our people, he said. There are also fears about the impact on international relations with scientists across the world. Ian Russell said the cuts risked undermining the UK as trusted partners in international cooperation. "We're talking about science that the UK is already a world leader in, and there's plenty of research that says the funding that goes into that research and development have massively benefited effect on the economy." In a letter to Jonathan Reynolds, the Secretary of State for Business, Innovation, Science and Trade, and co-signed by the Conservative and Labour MPs, Glover said the cuts threaten world-leading scientific research and job opportunities for young people. "Ultimately, our scientific leadership on the world stage, higher education sector and skills pipeline are all currently at risk of being irreparably damaged. Now is the time to prevent all this from happening."
Parkrun celebrates its 5th anniversary. A popular parkrun event has celebrated its 5th birthday with a record-breaking turnout. Grove Fields Parkrun saw 239 participants, settling a new record for the 5K course on Saturday. The event, which also marked its anniversary, saw participants running, jogging or walking the course. As part of the celebrations, awards were handed out to various participants. The Grove Fields Diehards Award was given to Andrew Watts and Kim Amies, while Rachel Hobbin was named the Volunteerist Volunteer. Laura Medlock was recognised as the Junior Volunteerist Volunteer, and Luke Weller received the Double Buggy Pusher Award. The Pothole Filler Award was given to Ian Norburn. The event also welcomed tourists from various places, including Newcastle, Preston, Reading, Ivorham Park, Manchester, Greenham Common, Alton, and even Sydney, Australia. The milestone of 25 runs was reached by Dominic Jones, while Tom Mullin and Rob Sudderby reached the unofficial milestones of 150 and 350 runs, respectively. The event saw 41 participants achieving personal bests.
MP backs cricket club's drive to widen access. An MP has backed a cricket club's efforts to break down barriers in sport. Ollie Glover, MP, visited Challow and Childrey Cricket Club to support its work to make cricket more accessible for young people and to highlight the need to remove barriers in participation in sport. He met cricketers and learned about the club's partnership with King Alfred's Academy, which aims to introduce the sport to students who might not otherwise have the opportunity to play. And Mr. Glover said, "Attending a state-funded school should not be a barrier to getting involved in sports such as cricket. I will continue to support fantastic local clubs like this one as they help people from all backgrounds enjoy the game." Despite £35 million of funding from the Department for Culture, Media and Sport for grassroots cricket facilities in 2024, access to cricket remains significantly lower for pupils at state-funded schools. The club hopes to help improve King Alfred Academy's facilities, allowing it to host its own matches in the future. Gerald Wixie of Challow and Childrey Cricket Club said, "We are so pleased to meet Ollie on a beautiful afternoon. He is a sociable young man who showed a keen interest in all our projects and offered to help with a couple of ongoing issues."
Customers set to see their water bills increase. Thames Water customers are set to see unexpected bill increases after Ofwat provisionally allowed extra spending. The industry watchdog has provisionally allowed Thames Water to increase charges between 2027 and 2030 to help fund an additional £3.4 billion investment. This investment is aimed at upgrading networks to cope with new housing and data centres and tackling forever chemicals to ensure drinking water safety and reliability. The Consumer Council for Water, CCW, criticised the decision, highlighting the burden of rising bills amidst current cost of living pressures. The CCW emphasised the need for Ofwat to justify the necessity of every pound of the extra £3.4 billion. Ofwat has already permitted water firms to hike bills by 36% between 2025 and 2030, with a 5.4% average increase from April this year. The move to allow additional bill increases comes as Thames Water faces potential collapse due to a more than £20 billion debt crisis. Creditors are currently working on a rescue deal to prevent temporary nationalisation by the government. South East Water, also permitted to raise bills for its investment programme, has faced backlash after supplying interruptions left thousands without water. Ofwat will consult on the draft decision until September the 24th, with a final verdict due in December.
Historical event pulled. The reenactment of a battle in the English Civil War, complete with artillery, has been cancelled with just days to go amid safety fears over the dry conditions of the countryside. The organisers of the Battle of the Cotswolds reenactment, which was due to take place on Sunday and Monday at the Great Tew Estate near Chipping Norton, has announced the event will no longer go ahead. More than 2,000 members of the Sealed Knot Society were set to perform, with the day supposed to include cannon fire, charging horses and the full battle reenactment. However, considering the lack of rain and very dry parkland, the reenactment group has decided it cannot go ahead. A spokesman said, "It is with deep regret that the Sealed Knot has cancelled the reenactment of the battle from the English Civil War, a Battle of the Cotswolds." The event was going to be held at the Great Tew Estate on Sunday and Monday. In light of recent events, government's advice and safety of their membership and general public, the Sealed Knot Board of Directors have felt compelled to make the difficult decision to cancel the event. There has been a number of wildfires around Oxfordshire in recent months, and as the country and wider UK experiences record temperatures, the battle enactment between the parliamentaries and the royalists would have seen arena displays including infantry, cavalry and the most significant artillery. Indeed, the reenactment society cited the drought conditions were posed a high risk of wildfire and the clear advice not to undertake any activity that could start fire. They added, even in the possible rain forecast, we cannot be confident that the risk of fire and other associated risks will be reduced significantly between now and the bank holiday weekend. We recognise that the emergency services are currently overstretched and applaud the wonderful job they're doing. We do not want to add to the stress and strains on them. The tickets are on sale at £20 per family, £10 individual and £5 concessions, with all those who purchase them to be refunded. The spokesperson continued, all members of the public who have already bought tickets will be refunded as soon as possible.
Youth charity in donation of £1,000. A youth charity has received a donation to support its ongoing work. Didcot-based Train, which is also active in Wallingford, received £1,000 from Persimmon Homes, Wessex, through the Developers Community Champions Scheme. The charity delivers mentoring, detached youth work, leadership programme and social action project, with a focus on supporting disadvantaged young people across South Oxfordshire. Pauline Fletcher, Sales Director at Persimmon Homes Wessex, said, "As a local developer that will have a significant presence in Didcot for years to come, Persimmon is determined to support great initiatives in the area that builds communities and provides a valuable service for residents, current and future. Therefore, we were delighted to receive Train's application for Community Champions funding and are more than pleased to donate to them so they can continue their fantastic work with young people in the town. Train's youth work is relationship based and voluntary, with the aim of helping young people grow in confidence, re-engage with education and work towards positive futures." Ben Drabble, Chief Executive of Train, said, "We are very grateful to Persimmon for their support through this donation. Persimmon Homes Wessex is delivering half of the 4,254 homes planned for the Valley Park development in Didcot."
Marketplace changes revised after feedback. A plan to improve safety for pedestrians and cyclists in and around Abingdon's marketplace have been revised following consultation, according to a county councillor. A consultation on improvements for people walking and cycling in the town centre revealed strong support for the scheme. A major improvement will be a pedestrian crossing linking Market Place with the space outside the County Hall Museum. But some residents expressed concern about a proposed cycle lane for East St Helens Street, believing the design could be dangerous. And Oxford West and Abingdon MP Leila Moran has raised the issue with County Council Highways bosses. Abingdon North County Councillor Nathan Lay said transport officers have revised the proposals. He said, "The County Council has published revised plans for the scheme, following feedback from last autumn's consultation. The scheme itself has clear public support based on the original fundamentals. There were 345 consultation responses, with every main element receiving majority backing. Ranging from 69% support for the East St Helens Street cycle contraflow to 81% for the town centre junction changes. However, people have also raised practical concerns, particularly around parking, loading, passing places and the impact on residents. The plans have now been changed in response, but fundamentally the benefits we want to achieve in terms of making it easier to get around on foot, wheelchair, bike in the town centre remain."
10-year-old takes on a 185-mile Thames path for fund. A 10-year-old boy is midway through a remarkable endurance walk for a deeply personal cause. Ellis Kent is aiming to become the youngest known person to complete the full 185-mile Thames path in a single continuous challenge. He is walking the route over 14 days with his father, Matthew. The journey, which began on August the 19th and will finish on September the 4th, is a Source to Sea challenge in memory of Ellis's grandmother, Barbara Sunderland, who died from pancreatic cancer 3 years ago. The father and son team are hoping to raise £50,000 for Cancer Research UK through their efforts. They took a break on Sunday to enjoy a hot air balloon ride over Henley, offering them an aerial view of part of their walking route. The trip was provided for free by Virgin Balloon Flights. Mr. Kent said, "Virgin Balloon Flights gave Ellis and me an experience we'll never forget. Flying in a hot air balloon has been a dream of Ellis's for a long time, so being able to surprise him with this in the middle of our 185-mile Source to Sea challenge was incredibly special. I'm trying to give Ellis some amazing experiences along the way to keep him motivated through what is a huge physical and mental challenge for a 10-year-old. And this was right up there. Seeing the Thames from above at sunrise was magical. We could look down on the river, see where we had already come from, and get a real sense of where we were heading next. The experience has been made even more meaningful by the generosity of the public they have encountered along the way." Mr. Kent said, "One of the most amazing parts of the challenge so far has been the generosity of people and organisations along the route, and Virgin Balloon Flights are a perfect example of that. A huge thank you not only to our pilot Jonathan, who was fantastic with Ellis, but to the wider Virgin Balloon Flights team too. The service, organisation, warmth and expertise from everyone involved were incredible and made the whole experience feel really special from start to finish. It was a very special morning and something Ellis will remember for the rest of his life." Virgin Balloon Flights also donated £100 to the fundraising campaign. Amy Jackson, marketing manager at Virgin Balloon Flights, said, "Ellis and Matthew are taking on an incredible challenge for such an important cause, and we were delighted to give them the chance to see their journey from a completely different perspective. Walking 185 miles in 14 days is an amazing achievement in itself, but knowing that Ellis is doing this at just 10 years old to raise money in memory of his grandmother makes it even more special."
Reservoir versus Canal. The charity restoring the historic Wilts and Berks Canal, which ran from Abingdon to Grove, Shrivenham and beyond, has launched an emergency appeal to protect it from the Thames Water Whitehorse Abingdon Reservoir. They say with proper planning, the reservoir and a restored canal can coexist. Volunteers of the Wilts and Berks Canal Trust have been rebuilding the canal since 1977. Despite the name, it runs through present-day Oxfordshire, not Berkshire. The reservoir threatens to obliterate the historic canal line. The Trust is calling for Thames Water to build a replacement channel. And they write, "This is a once-in-a-generation infrastructure project. Existing planning policies are intended to safeguard the canal. We are calling on Thames Water to honour those protections."
Home Builder's 5-year milestone. A home builder is celebrating 5 years of development and community engagement. David Wilson Homes began work in Abingdon in 2021 and has since delivered 3 major developments: Kingsgate, Abbey Fields, and the Meadows at Abbey Fields. Kingsgate and Abbey Fields have now sold out, while just 2 properties remain at the Meadows. Campbell Gregg, Managing Director at David Wilson Homes Southern, said, "Over the past 5 years, we've been proud to become part of the Abingdon community and to support a variety of local initiatives alongside delivering new homes. Our developments have always been about more than creating places to live. Whether it be working with schools, supporting charities, or promoting sustainability, we've enjoyed building strong connections with local people and making a positive contribution to the town. As we approach the completion of our work in Abingdon, we'd like to thank the community for its support, and we look forward to welcoming the final residents to this charming and vibrant town. The developer has supported schools and charities through a range of initiatives.
Fridge and freezer disposal issue. Residents face collection charges of up to £44 for the collection of old fridges and freezers as Oxfordshire councils grapple with a national recycling backlog. Temporary restrictions have been introduced at household waste recycling centres by Oxfordshire County Council following a nationwide shortage of specialist facilities. Bookings for these appliances at recycling centres are now capped and can only be made one week in advance and are limited to one booking every 3 months, with a maximum of 2 units per visit. With some district and city councils also restricting bulky waste collections for fridges and freezers, residents are being encouraged to explore alternative disposal options when buying a replacement appliance. The County Council is urging people to use retailer take-back schemes, where stores collect old appliances when delivering new ones. While retailers are required to offer a like-for-like take-back service, charges can vary significantly. The Council is also encouraging residents to reuse working appliances where possible through websites such as Freegal, Freecycle, Facebook Marketplace and Nextdoor.
A weekend of medieval mayhem in store. Knights will return to the arena next month as Stoner Park brings back its blockbuster jousting and falconry weekend. Taking place on September the 19th and 20th, the family event promises a packed programme of medieval-themed fun and interactive attractions. Visitors to the Henley-on-Thames attraction can look forward to dramatic jousting displays by the Knights of Royal England as armoured riders compete in a thrilling test of skill and bravery. Spectacular falconry displays will fill the skies throughout the day, with majestic birds swooping across the parkland as visitors learn about the ancient art of falconry. Hands-on activities will include archery and axe throwing. Admission includes entry to Stoner Park's adventure playground, Tumblestone Hollow, which features slides, tunnels, climbing walls and a zip wire. Visitors can also explore the historic gardens and Stoner House, which will be open to the public in the afternoons. A wide selection of street food will be available, including barbecue, pizza, burgers and gelato. Tickets can be booked at www.stoner.com.
That is the last news item for this week. I thank the Herald and other local sources for the items used, and I thank our readers, Irene, Paul and both Sandras. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the newspaper. Goodbye and thank you for listening.